You finished number four. Number four, as we think about ready to answer, was dealing with the religious error that says to be saved one must pray the sinner's prayer. And so I hope that you found that beneficial and you had a good study, and I'm sure you did. And tonight we're going to move on and do the back side of the sheet. One of the religious errors, by the way, that you covered last week then was number two, which was what is once saved, always saved. The inability to fall, or once in grace, always in grace. You may hear that referred to. The Bible doesn't teach that. So we dealt with that, you did, last week. I'll put this sheet in the back. We won't take the time to hand it out right now, but it'd be in the back for those that want to take. There's 12 references that I put together for you that shows that an individual can fall from a right relationship with God from the Old Testament through the New Testament. So I'll put that in the back, and you can pick that up if you'd like to have that. So again, I want to put before us the reason for this class. I realize that many of you, if not most of you, feel pretty good about giving an answer to the things that I'm putting on here. We dealt with seven or eight religious errors concerning the church, and if you don't have one of those sheets, let me know and I'll give you one. I've got an extra one here. Does everyone have one for tonight? They're in the back. Make sure that you get that so you can follow along and make your own notes and learn from one another. So I realize that most of you can off the top of your head give a response when someone bring some of these things up, and that's good, and we ought to be ready to do that. But I don't want you to miss a point that one of the reasons I wanted to do this class was not give you something that was difficult to handle. I mean, some of these you may find a little challenging, but really I want you to be able to examine where you're at right now and where you need to grow. And someone says, well, I already know all that. Well, that's fine. But I challenge you to not just view it from the standpoint, I know that already. I want you to ask yourself the question, if someone comes up to you and they present one of these to you, can you take their Bible or pull out your Bible and from the Bible on the spot know where to go? And I will tell you that probably a lot, I sort of say most, and that may not be accurate, but a lot of Christians are not able to do that. Even those who have been in the church for years and years may say, well, I know that it's in there. I know that the Bible says it. I know what to say. But I don't know where to direct someone to. And we've got to be ready to do that. Because I guarantee you, you're going to get caught on the spot with someone who presents something to you. And you can say, well, I know it's there. I have to get back to you. And that's fine. Get back with them. But I challenge you to know these things and commit them best you can to your memory. And the good thing about doing that now is 50 years down the road when you're still teaching individuals, or 75 years down the road, whatever the case may be, it's still going to be in the very same place that you memorized that it was at tonight. I mean, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that you're familiar with, will still say the same thing for 100 years from now, and longer. And so that holds true for me, any of these. So don't build the persuasion, I cannot memorize the Bible, I can't commit it to my memory, I just can't do that. Yes, you can do that. You're just no different than anyone else. There's just some that can do it better than others, and many that can do it better than I can. But I know I can commit these things to my heart, and I know you can. So we just got to give our time and attention to doing that. You got to be interested, by the way, in doing that. Are we all interested in knowing how to give a defense, give a reason for what we believe and what the Scriptures teach, which is one and the same, hopefully? Well, we've got to be interested in it, and you will always succeed better, and I will too, at things that we're interested in doing. So if you're interested in knowing this and knowing the Word of God, you'll do just fine. I have every bit of confidence in that. Number five on the back of your sheet, the sheet dealing with salvation, and this is the error that infants, I'm just going to bring that, you got it on your sheet, on infant baptism. So I ask you, someone says, well, you know, we practice infant baptism. The Catholic Church does that, and others do that. for various different reasons. And so someone comes up to you and they say, well, you know, that we baptize our babies. Do you baptize your babies? And you say no. And they say, well, why don't you do that? So I'm interested in knowing if you can give an answer as to why we don't do that. As to why we don't do it, and then answer the question, can you show from the Bible that infants were not baptized? And I'll give you some passages to go along with that that people may try to use from time to time. Someone started to say something in the back. Go ahead.
I said infant baptism, we don't do
that. Okay, we don't.
Got to baptize believers.
Okay. So, Heather, did you put a passage down on your sheet?
No.
Okay. So, but I know that you know Mark 16 and in verse 16. The Bible teaches that one must believe in order to be baptized.
Repent.
Okay. Repent. And
Acts 2.
Junior, where would that be at?
Acts 2.
Okay. Repentance, Acts 2. Remember the verse?
Okay.
30 again.
And
again, we want to be able to challenge ourselves that if I say the Bible says it, if I know it, I want to be able to direct somebody. You may want to make you some notes in the margin of your Bible. That's a good way to do that. If you typically, when you think about baptism, what's a verse that usually comes to mind?
Acts 2:38
or Mark 16:16. So a good way that you can make you some notes in your Bible is just simply go to either one of those passages and in the margin, write your other verse down. Put Mark 16:16 here and then go to Mark 16:16 and put the other references that talk about that. So if you got your Bible, you say, I can't remember where that's at, but I remember it's Acts 2:38. Well, in the margin of your Bible, you got your other verse, and in the margin of your Bible at this verse, you got another one. And you just go through a chain. Remember, we had a class on Mark Your Bible, I think on a Tuesday night maybe. And we dealt with that. How to make some good notes in your Bible. Okay, so the Bible talks about in order to be baptized, one must believe. Now, how does that have anything to do with an infant or a child?
They say a child is born in sin. I think that's the reason a lot of them baptize babies.
Okay. So we say you have to believe. What does that have to do? How are you going to make the connection between believing and a baby? Babies can't believe. In order to believe, you have to be able to hear and to have information and process it and make the determination based on what you hear, what's right and what's not, and what you're going to do with it. And so, what about repentance? What's the connection? Babies can't repent. And by the way, they don't have anything to repent of.
Same thing with 1 Peter 3:21.
Okay.
Talks about the filth of the flesh. Pure babies, so pure that they can't be any filth there.
He taught a good conscience, right? And it's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. So, conscience not defiled. Anyone else?
In Acts 2, verse 36, Peter told those there to live the house of Israel. All the house of Israel know assurance that God had made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he mentioned verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They understood at that time when Peter said that, the sin they had committed. John, in 1 John 3 and verse 4, said that whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. Sin is a transgression. So one must understand what sin is. And a child is not.
Good. I think that's a good point, said about James. James 5 or 4, 17, check me on that. To him who knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. So it involves here for.
Okay. Was they able to tell also?
And Jen, did you put your reference on
it? Matthew 28:20.
Matthew 28. Teach them.
Acts 2:21 says, that those who gladly receive the word.
See, you've got all kinds of things to give an answer. Now, Bill was brought up earlier. Well, a lot of folks do that because they say, well, babies are born in sin, that they inherited the sin of Adam. Well, is that so? We say no. So they say, well, yes, it were. I mean, Adam sinned, and as a result of that, then we're all depraved, and we had the sin that Adam committed, and so that's just with us when we're born. So where are you going to take them?
The son's not responsible for the father's sin, and the father's not responsible for the son's sin. Now I'm asking where that's at. But I know it says something.
Yeah, I got it. Ezekiel 18.
Cool. Acts 3, verse 19 says, repent, therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If you can't repent, your sins will be blotted out.
Well, you know, the Bible needs to be updated. Someone just recently told me that this week. The Bible is written in such a way that God knew that it would need to be updated as time went on. We're going to deal with some of the error related to the Bible. Not that the Bible's in here, but some of the religious error.
If they say supposed to update it, just to carry it out.
It's a good question, then. I want to give you another sheet. There's 12 passages on this sheet that show from the Bible that a child is not born with sin. Good passages that you can keep, write down in your Bible, however you want to deal with that. I'll let those get handed around. We'll look at some of them.
John, Matthew 18:2 says we have to be as little children to enter heaven.
Good. That's excellent. One of the ones on that sheet. While on earth with Jesus, set a sinner in front of the disciples, say, except you be converted, become this little sinner. Well, that's the unavoidable conclusion, if that be true, that's what the Lord was doing.
You know, I was talking to some people that was having lunch at work one day, and we were talking about this, and I said, they're not born sinners, they're born into a world of sin. Well, they made fun of me, and I said, so let me ask you a question. They each had small children, and I said, do you believe that your child, has your child been baptized? And they said, no. I said, well, do you believe that your child died and has gone to hell? No. I said, well, then why not? That's where sinners go. So they don't even really believe their own, what they say. They say they believe it, but they really don't even believe that.
And that's a conclusion, Rose, that is absolutely unavoidable if that doctrine be true. Because the Bible says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And unrighteousness is sin. 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 John talks about that. So, Deuteronomy 1:39, we won't look at all these. You have them, you can put them in your folder, however you want to. Moreover, your little ones, which he says should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. I want to go through some of these, and I want to back up to one and see how you'd answer. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. I heard that. Someone just said it. Well, Ezekiel 18:20. Ezekiel 28:15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Now watch this. Till when? Till iniquity was found in thee. That's a good verse. That's so plain. And Belvis pointed out Matthew 18 and 1 through 3. Mark, parallel to that, Mark 10. Romans 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Can't get any more plain than that, can you? Whosoever, as Seal said earlier, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. I'm interested in knowing on this sheet how you would deal with Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Someone says, aha, I got you. The Bible says as soon as they be born that they've gone astray. How did you deal with that? First of all, does that verse say that? Does the verse say that they go astray as soon as they be born?
Probably. You wrote that.
Look it up. If that's not a mistype, that's what it says. But how would you deal with that? Is that what he's saying? As soon as one comes forth from the womb, that they've gone astray from God? And now, in the context that he's talking about the wicked, I was thinking about that verse today, and how could you deal with that, to point that out to someone? Those two words that are the last words of that verse, I think, give the answer. What did he say?
Speaking lies. You can't speak out of the womb.
There you go. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying that one is separated from God as a result of their sin from the womb. But he is talking about that the wicked are given over to that by their choice. Now, they're not made to do it. They're given to wickedness, and that's what they give themselves to. And Romans chapter 1 talks about that.
It does say as soon as they're born, though. I mean, that's a little confusing to me.
But as you have to ask the question, is he talking about literally as soon as they come forth that they've sinned?
They don't speak lies.
They can't speak lies. They can't speak.
And, I mean, what the idea is that all of us are wicked when we're born. That's not who he's talking about here. He's not talking about everybody. He's talking about a subset of people.
He's talking about the wicked.
He's talking about the wicked. And so he's supposing that there's people that aren't wicked. But if we're all born wicked, what's the difference? If that's the theory that we're all born depraved.
Yeah, he even goes on to talk, Ray, and some of these other verses about the righteous in verse 10. So he's making a contrast so many times the Bible does between the wicked and the righteous. So oftentimes the wicked are giving themselves over to sin, and by choice that's what they're doing and following. You got that sheet, and you can go through that. I think all these ways that you can handle that are you're right in it. And you're going to run into folks that it don't matter what direction you take on that, they're not going to listen to it because they don't want to do that. But any of these references that you gave are good answers to that. And the very simple point that, as Catherine pointed out, that the Bible doesn't mention about infants being baptized. But here's what I've heard individuals say now in Acts chapter 16, in Acts chapter 18, you have household conversions. And what house doesn't have babies and young children, small children? In Acts 16, and you admit the context of that, who's converted in Acts 16, 31 through 34? The latter part of Acts 16. Yeah, the jailer. And the Bible says in verse 31, he asks a question in verse 30, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Well, again, that would include young, very young kids, toddlers, babies, they would say. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took in the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And so you may hear folks say there's an example of a New Testament household conversion from the youngest to the oldest.
31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So
you've
got the
34.
Really? You may want to point that out to them. And so what might you ask them? Well, the Bible says that they have to believe. And again, babies can't believe.
There doesn't have to be babies there. There's still babies in my house.
Okay. So sometimes they force a conclusion, if you want to call it a conclusion. It's not a conclusion based on the text, but they force that. And about believing, as Jan pointed out,
trying to play on the inferences that where the Bible is silent at, they want to add their own things into it.
Yeah, will that work, Chris?
Yeah.
It will. You know better, right?
It mentions we'll stand before God and judge and give an account for the deeds done in the body. Wonder what the baby's going to give an account for.
Yeah. Well, have no sin. Even though some, well, they'll give an account for the sin they inherited from Adam. That won't work, will it?
They haven't even
had
a chance to do a deed.
That's right. Sometimes house includes folks in the house, but not to the inclusion of babies. And someone, maybe Judy, said a moment ago, it's who says that there has to be babies in the house? There's two passages that came to mind when I thought about this, and that's a passage in Hebrews 11:7, and both of these are dealing with Noah. Now, who was in Noah's house? Yeah, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. Now, notice, someone read for us Hebrews 11, verse 7.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Yeah.
To the saving of his house. And we know, based on the text of the Bible, that there was only eight people. Right? So sometimes when a house is being talked about, it's not talking about children. But then along with that, in the margin of your Bible, you might want to write down what Peter stated in 2 Peter 2:5. Someone says, well, you know, the Bible may just not have mentioned the little ones that was with Noah. Well, you can go back to Genesis and notice who's on the ark. Now, that's pretty specific. But 2 Peter 2, and in verse 5, someone read that for us.
He did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, for seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Okay, so the English standard, that's what you're, the English standard version says this with seven others, himself in the eight. The King James version says a preacher of righteousness, or but say Noah, the eighth person, out of the way. So we know that the only ones there, according to the Bible, and we know the Bible is true, was eight people. And he built the ark to the saving of his house. So it's a forced conclusion. It's all but there was babies there. And so there's just a ton of other verses you can look at and go talk about. No, number six. No. Just about whole time on number five.
Sorry, just what? Everything is in context. Even the, you know, we know the Bible says all non-believers will be lost, but that's in the context of you have to be able to believe.
Yeah, so the saved, the lost, and the safe, right? Those who, you know, effectively won't allow it.
Right.
Hey,
Johnny. Yes, ma'am.
What about the Isaiah 8, or Isaiah 48:8, connected to Psalms
58:3? Isaiah. What was it again, Catherine?
Isaiah 48:8.
I think a lot of times, too, the wording refers or makes the point that they were always that way. The very beginning, which means, you know, their very start.
You know. And the context here is he's talking about Israel.
And what was the one from Psalm again? The one we looked at, the 53rd. I tell you what, I'll look at that too before next time because we're just about out of time. But again, and remember that a very basic rule of Bible study is you cannot interpret one passage when it clearly contradicts the teaching of another passage. And so if we know that there's a passage that says babies are innocent or they're made in innocence and so forth, there will be no verse in the Bible that contradicts that passage. Once you establish that true, it's truth throughout.
We made the point, you know, as far as Isaiah here, so you're a transgressor from the womb. Well, you can't be a transgressor until you are of age.
That's right. We got five. Anyone else have any comments? We'll start number six.
Acts 11:28. that household has to hear the word.
That's right. Good point. What passage again was that?
Acts 11, 14.
You write these down. I tell you what, we'll make a couple other comments on that and share our notes, and we'll stop there instead of starting number six. But I want to ask you, and you answer for yourself, how many of us tonight could have taken our Bibles and with what we've talked about, sat down with someone and gave an answer for this religious error? Could you have done that? I know we could say what the Bible says, but I'm convinced a lot of Christians cannot do that. A lot of older Christians cannot do that very thing. That's why places like this are important for us to learn and commit things to memory. Any other references maybe that you got in the couple of minutes we have left that wasn't shared tonight? Share those because that's important for all of us to learn them and share them and grow together. Any others? Infants are candidates for baptism. What about the fact that you're raised to walk in newness of life? And one of the things that God calls upon those who are Christians, being a new creature then in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is to be faithful. When you obey the gospel, does God expect anything of you? Demand anything of us? What does He demand of us?
Take up our cross and follow Him.
That's a good point. Take up our cross and follow Him on a daily basis. Now, how's a baby going to do that? Or a young child or a toddler? Not forsake the assembling of yourselves together and participating by that. I mean, be here and be focused at the task at hand, worshiping God. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Remember the Lord's day. Make your supplications known unto God in prayer. How is a baby going to fulfill any of those things that God expects of every one of His children? By the way, any of God's children excluded from that? I'm talking about, obviously, not hindered beyond their ability, but they're able to do that. God expects us to do that. Any other thoughts, comments? A class like this is important and it's needed. It's one that we need to take seriously. Don't shirk it and say, well, I heard that 50 years ago. Well, that's great, but 50 years goes by, and if you're like me, a week goes by and I tend to forget. So we need to be reminded. I appreciate your good attention.